Today I shall talk to you about the miracles of God. The following program is brought to you by the Call to Obedience radio ministry. I'm Pastor Schulze, and this broadcast comes to you every week at this time over the station. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray you'd send your divine illumination upon this word of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Our text today is from the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, and here we read one of the most remarkable stories to be found in the Bible. What precedes this text is that the apostles, the 12 of them, had been sent out to preach repentance, to cast out devils, to heal the sick. Now the return after the first mission under Jesus' authority. So it says here, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus, and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place, and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, the disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And he said unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 pennies worth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And he sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed, and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples and set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And he took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Now this, my friend, the feeding of the 5,000 is also recorded in the other Gospels. It is a miracle of such immense proportion that no one could keep silence about it. It was too great not to be told. It's a miracle that has no parallel in any other religion of the world. It could stand alone in the proof that God, the God of the Hebrews, my friend, can do anything, and I mean anything. It stands to give credence to the words of Jesus we find throughout the Gospels when he says something like this, Nothing shall be impossible to you, or with God all things are possible, or the things that are impossible with man are possible with God. One of the biggest problems we have is when we come to certain problems and challenges and difficulties, we deep inside of ourselves don't have the faith to really believe that God can do it, or that he really wants to do it. Oh, my friend, we can say the words of faith real loud, but if there is no faith deep in our hearts, nothing will happen. We will not employ and draw down the power of God to make the miracle occur without faith, deep faith. I can give you no better cure for this problem of unbelief, but that you need to read and read and read the Bible, because the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, having whetted your appetite about miracles, let us for a moment leave this great miracle and let us look and see what happened before this miracle happened. Before we get into the miracle of the loaves and fishes, I want you to know a greater miracle than that. Many miracles may happen depending on God's will and our faith. But there is a miracle that we have with us at all times, and that miracle is absolutely guaranteed by the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is a miracle that he loves us, that he has compassion on us, and that he is available to teach us how to walk with God. This is what you can count on as your everyday miracle. So, my friend, this is what I want to talk to you briefly about today. Let us look at these three elements as we approach the feeding of the 5,000, which I shall speak upon some more next week. Let's look at the prelude to the feeding of the 5,000. Number one is that Jesus loves us. Number two, that Jesus has compassion on us. Number three, that Jesus wants to teach us how to walk with God. Number one, Jesus loves us enough to bother with us. Why didn't he stay in heaven in the glory and bliss and splendor of eternity, where there is no sin, no fall, no disappointment, no complaint, no war, no darkness? Why didn't he just stay up there in some kind of a big golden rocking chair in the throne of God? Why did he come down to us to visit us? It's because Jesus loves us. He left the glory of heaven to get into the mud and grit with us. He knew we needed him, and he knows that you and I need him today. So let's look at the prelude to the feeding of the 5,000. It says in verse 31, "And Jesus said unto those worn-out disciples who just came back from their first mission project, he said to them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while." Oh, wonderful. They were weary, but Jesus cared. They were weary, and Jesus noticed this, and Jesus made immediate provision to help them get out of their weariness. Oh, most people get excited about the big things, but I want you to become students of little things. The famous father of modern evangelism, Jonathan Edwards, out of whose ministry came many revivals, is best known for his famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, which he preached in the 18th century. He preached it first to his own church, but they were not interested. Then he preached it in another congregation, and revival broke out that led to hundreds of thousands of people coming to know God. Now, that's what we know Jonathan Edwards for being the father of modern evangelism. That's what we read about as we go through history books, about the revivals that came out of him going all the way to Europe and to Asia and to Africa. But I want you to know that prior to this great revival that broke out, Jonathan Edwards for about 20 years or so preached just as heartily and sincerely as on the day revival broke out. He did not see one soul converted to God. For about 20 years, the only addition he had to the church was when somebody had a baby. There are many preachers who have not seen a soul saved for 20 years. So, friend, I ask you, what kept Jonathan Edwards from becoming discouraged in those 20 years? It was the fact he knew that Jesus loved him. And then I want you to know not only the prelude to this revival, but also the postlude. After the revival had been going on for a while, Jonathan Edwards thought he should set some standards for his church membership, for his own local church and communion. He said, "From now on, I'm not going to give communion, Holy Communion, to anybody unless they have a profession of conversion to Jesus Christ. Without that, you can't be members of the church either." Well, dear ones, that was all that was needed to be put for him to be put out of that church. He was sent to an Indian mission, this great scholar of the church, and let me ask you what kept him going there in this postlude of his life, of this great revival, for being the father of modern revivals. It is a fact that he knew that Jesus loved him. I'm not only interested in what a preacher says in the pulpit, but what he says to his wife outside the pulpit and to his children on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I would like to be a student of preludes and postludes and not just great events. See here what occurred before Jesus fed the 5,000. Oh, my friends, look at this prelude. Can you read between the lines about Jesus' wonderful care for his disciples and for the great multitudes that thronged him? That kind of love he showed there feeds me day after day after day before the big things happen and after the big things have happened. I have a Jesus who loves me long before he gives me bread, and long after that, even forever. I have a Jesus, my friend, who loves me before my prayers are answered, and long after that. But now then, let us go on and read the next verse. Jesus was promising the disciples some rest, so he with them got into a boat to cross the lake to go to some kind of resort. Well, it turns out to be, it says, the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. People got wind where he was going, and they, my friends, it says they came out of all cities. It says they ran afoot around the lake, and they got to the harbor where they knew Jesus would land before he got there by boat. And then we get to the compassion part, the second part of Jesus' ministry. It says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were sheep not having a shepherd. Friends, I want you to know, isn't this the heart of the whole gospel that we find here in these words, and Jesus had compassion on them? Isn't that John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life? Dear ones, the whole gospel, the coming of Jesus as a Savior into the world, give his life for our salvation, is a story of Jesus' compassion towards us. That's the great, great miracle. I like the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, but again, a much greater miracle happened before that, that the Bible tells us that God loves us, that God cares for us, that God had compassion on us. And that is a constant, ongoing reality that we may experience every single day. He had compassion on them because they were sheep without a shepherd. Oh, they had priests and Levites and Pharisees and scribes, but my friend, the hearts of those men were without compassion toward their congregations. They cared only for themselves to make themselves a name, or they chided their people, but they had no love for them as a shepherd has for a sheep. And so Jesus had to say to the thousands of people that they were sheep without a shepherd. Friend, if you have a pastor who has a heart after Jesus' own heart, you have a great treasure. No matter what he preaches, whether he preaches long or short, it doesn't matter. If he has the heart of Jesus, he has a heart of compassion. Finally, it says after this, he began to teach them many things. Now let me ask you, what are those many things? I would say these many things can be summarized into this, that Jesus taught them to walk with God. If I as a pastor have told you somehow how you can see a miracle, or by the grace of God, how you can make it happen, the healing of the sick, the casting out of devils, but if I have not taught you and helped you to walk with God, my ministry towards you has been in vain. For only those who walk with God are the true friends of the Lord Jesus. So, dear one, this is a prelude to the feeding of the 5,000, to a great miracle, by us looking at a greater miracle than this feeding of the 5,000. It is a miracle of Jesus himself loving us, having compassion on us, and teaching us to walk with God. Thank you for listening to the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Tune in again next week at the same time on the same station. Until then, I'm Pastor Schulze, and goodbye.